Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's time once again for another episode of Restore the Floor, your favorite Detroit Pistons podcast with a little other NBA stuff sprinkled in. He is the one, the only, Evan Jenkins. I'm Stoney. And Ev, they're 6-2 are these Pistons. Beating teams they should beat. They got a few of those coming up as well. So that's all great. But I think right now the big story is something that over the life of this podcast, we always questioned, can he do it in the fourth quarter? And Cade Cunningham right now, based on back-to-back 19-point performances in fourth quarters against Memphis on the road and at home against Utah, he's been incredible in the fourth quarter, and he's averaging 13 points a game in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, just imagine what he would do if he did that in the first three quarters as well. It's just crazy to me because I do understand that listen, he scored 31 points on Wednesday night, 19 coming in the fourth quarter, and then it makes you think, well, why do you only have 12 in the first three quarters?
Right.
Now, I understand it's part of the game. He's trying to facilitate. Teams are trying to take him out of the game. It's interesting, but now what would a complete Cade look like?
Correct.
You know what I mean?
Would he have enough, gas in the tank, so to speak, to do it if he went?
I mean,
he's not going half speed or anything like that.
No, he's just playing a different game, and he's putting the ball in his hands more so than the other players, which is awesome, and I absolutely love it. Listen, I'm not taking anything away from him. What I've seen these last two games is super, super impressive. Now, the fact after the Memphis game that Ja Morant basically said he's not even having fun and he's not trying and yada yada, that if you're a Memphis fan, that sucks. But there is one thing I took away from the Jazz game, and tell me if you would do this, Stoney. I would trade Jaden Ivey in a first or two firsts, whatever it takes. If you get Lauri Markkanen on this team, Stoney, that's an NBA title team.
Well, here's the thing with that, because I was sitting with some people last night, some friends of mine in the second half, and that seems to be the popular opinion. But in watching him play, he just does. I mean, he'd be great at spacing the floor.
Yep.
But he's kind of a soft player, it appears.
You don't need him. Play him in the post. He's averaging what?
I know.
30 a game?
Yeah.
That's not a soft player to me.
I know. But a lot of that was late when the game was already out, at least yesterday. Look, it was a weird game, first of all. I mean, how many people had the Svi Mihailuk revenge tour
on
their bingo card?
So hot. He scored, 10 in a row or something like that?
The Utah Jazz, not to digress or something, I said, wow, look at this team. They're all old white guys, except for Ace Bailey and George. You had
Kevin Love.
Markkanen, Love, Nurkic. Right?
Yeah. I mean, Filipkowski's still young.
Yeah, I know. But
that's always been the Jazz, man. The Jazz has always ran those white teams out there. They're like Duke of the NBA.
I was waiting for Mark Eaton to show up.
Oh, Mark Eaton. What a great name. Blast from the past. I love what I've seen from the Pistons, and they're taking care of the business that they should take care of. I asked a question this morning, who's the best team that they beat? And somebody said the Bulls, and I'm like, well, they lost to the Bulls. It's the Rockets is the best team that they've beaten this year. Everybody else, I feel they should have won. People might say Boston, but Boston's not the same without Tatum. They just aren't. But you have to be super impressed. I think I saw online, I don't know if the stat's factual, you can't believe everything you read online, but the Pistons weren't four games over 500 until February of last year.
Wow. And look, it's good because they are going to be playing better teams later
in the Nets.
Season. And I'm glad the Nets, by the way, got that first win off the schneid so the Pistons wouldn't have that psychological thing going. But, get as many wins as you can now.
Absolutely.
Because you never know, God forbid, injuries and things like that. So, and you get a good seed. But they're playing good basketball. The other thing, sticking with Cade for a second, last night, the place, look, it wasn't that crowded, all right, whatever. But the people that were there were loud and, MVP chants all over, not just when he was at the foul line. And when he got on that roll, he finally missed he went almost from the logo. It was a heat check three.
Oh, yeah, it was a little short.
Now, granted, he wasn't being doubled, But once he had the ball, you knew he was going to score. He was unstoppable.
He made those three threes in the fourth, and they showed Ivy on TV. Like, oh, my God. He was freaking out. Yeah. He's like, he's made three of them. And it's just so cool to see. And what's even better about Cade is how much better he has made Jalen Duren.
Oh, the two of them right now. I mean, maybe the Pistons are going to, you know, in a good way, regret not signing Duren to the extension because he's playing his ass off.
He really is, and it reminds me of Lob City with Chris Paul and DeAndre Jordan back in the day with the Clippers.
Right, and they were talking last night after the game because I guess in media day, Duren was saying that he doesn't just want to be Lob City. They want to be the best pick-and-roll guys in the league, and they've been working on that pretty damn hard without even not just lobs. And he talked about, because what have we been complaining about Jalen Duren?
There's no shot. It's all 5 feet and in.
And he's talking about how he's been working on just getting, you know, moves down low and just being more aggressive offensively, and he was pissed that he missed two free throws yesterday.
Well, he's very good at the line.
Yes!
Very, very good. Now, it's a set shot, so it's a different kind of shot than a jumper, which is understandable, but right. Just to see his development, even rebounding the ball. You know, some people might have said he was a little soft near the rim with blocking shots and rebounds, but no, he is really coming into one of his own, and I don't disagree with the Pistons in a show-me type deal with Jalen Duren. Like, hey, you produce, we are going to pay you. They still have, you know, the exclusive rights to sign him to any deal that somebody would offer him, and I think that they would. I just think that if you had another guy that could extend the floor as a big, this team is NBA title ready.
Oh.
Whether it's Markkanen or somebody else, but Ivy's the piece that you hope that you can showcase him, and if you can move him for a big, because look at what they're doing without him on the floor. Are they going to be that much better with him on the floor? I don't know. That's a big question to me. I think, you know, when we had Vinnie Goodwill on last week, he said the same thing, that you just don't know what you have with Jaden Ivey yet, which sucks because this is, what, his fourth year in the NBA now? And it's unfortunate because he does seem like a good human and has his head on his shoulders right, and his body is just not cooperating with him, and so it sucks, but there's a reason that they didn't sign him to the extension either.
Right, well, obviously because of the injury as well. But look, the JD he's averaging 17.9 a game and 11.4 rebounds. And to me, to have your second guy like that, it's pretty important. Well, and he's been great. Cade, I did want to mention while we were talking about him last night, what he did last night and the night before. He's third in the league in assists, by the way, at 9.6 a game.
Yeah. People are starting to make shots for him.
Yeah.
It's incredible what happens when people
and
make shots.
Yes, and even after a slow start, you know, Duncan Robinson shooting 40% from threes.
Well, he hit a dagger last night against the Jazz. Yeah. And listen, I may not like where he went to school, but he is helping this team a lot. LeVert's starting to play a little bit more athletically now that he's out there.
He was good in the first half where they actually needed somebody because they were so out of it in the first half.
It's weird. But that's just the NBA still. Yeah, you watch any NBA game, if you're within 10 points in the second half, it's anybody's game.
I know. The other night, Philly blew a 24-point lead to the Bulls that we talked about.
I know. And Pistons have Philly coming up in a couple games, too.
Yes, they do. And I also want to talk about Beef Stew.
Incredible, right?
He wants to, whether he'll get it, he won't because Wemby will probably get it. He wants to be one of the best defensive players in the league. Well, and he's getting there.
Beyond that, all first team, defensive team, and you're there. But yeah, the guy plays with so much heart and soul and fire that, listen, when you talk about the cliche and the stereotype of Detroit hardworking, yada, 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 he is that. And his shot, his jumper is coming along really,
39% from three.
And he's stepping into him. He's not timid. He's not shy to fire it away. It's very, very, very impressive because you never thought he was going to be this good of a player. But he's really, really blossomed. And you talk about blossoming, too, is Ron Holland.
Yes.
Boy, he has no fear out there.
None.
And it's awesome. That dunk that he had, the two-handed dunk on the break, I was like, oh, he's going to lay it in. No, he dunked it, and that kid has a lot of confidence. And I'll always go back to him being the top recruit in the nation out of high school.
Right, he was. And that's what people don't really look. There's still people who think maybe they should have taken Bezelis from the Bulls, who's doing better statistically, but got no problem with the Ron Holland pick. The last two games, Tobias Harris hadn't played. And he's another one of the guys who's averaging double figures. So, you know, you get him back.
He is what he is. We all know what Tobias Harris is.
Exactly.
But there's some games he looks like a superstar. Others he looks like.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like we're going crazy here. But when you look at this team, and getting somebody like a Mark, in a, you know, especially in the East.
That's my point.
Get him to the finals.
Because, I mean, you look at, like, the Eastern Conference standings, right? Like, there's nobody. The Bulls are 6-1, the Pistons are 6-2, and then it goes Knicks 5-3, Cleveland 5-3, Milwaukee 5-3, Philly 5-3, then a bunch of teams are 4-4.
Right.
So there's tons of parity within the East. But if you can really take that over, I mean, you look at the Knicks, for instance, they're 5-0 at home, 0-3 against on the road. So they can't win on the road right now.
Right.
You got Mike Brown there, which I'll never have confidence in him as a head coach, but you're kind of in the driver's seat right now, early on in the season. You just got to be able to keep it up, and everything's going to rely on Cade's shoulders, and rightfully so when you are a superstar. I mean, go look at the Lakers right now. Luka Doncic is averaging 40 points a game.
I know.
He's averaging more than AD and Cooper Flagg.
They're playing some decent teams, too.
They absolutely are, and you know me with the Lakers. I'm not a huge fan, and to see Bronny get dunked on by Wemby on Wednesday night was absolutely phenomenal to watch. But it's anybody's league this year. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And look, the Pistons, you know, coming up, their next games after we finish recording this pod, at Brooklyn, at Philly, you should definitely win one, if not both. Then you got Washington, Chicago, and Philly here, and Indiana here, four straight home games. You got to win three out of four there, right?
Absolutely, and I'm really looking forward to that Bulls game again because, I mean, listen, nobody expected the Bulls to be good this year.
Giddey's playing great.
He had, like, back-to-back triple-doubles, right?
Yeah.
And
I believe is that an NBA Cup game?
The Bulls, and let me check.
I think
say.
The Sixers are, too. Well, the
Bulls, no, the Sixers.
The second Sixers.
Second game. Sixers is a group play game, but no, not the Pistons-Bulls. That is not. The Nets is the first group play game that's coming up. But I would love to see them go out to Vegas and take that leap.
That would be great. It's
you
great.
Know what
it's
I mean?
Good for them. And the other thing that I'm finding out just by being around a little bit, and I'm like to sit there and say, I know these players. They love each other. It's, I mean, I don't know.
Really does seem like a brotherhood.
Yeah.
I remember when we used to work with Darren McCarty, he told me the Red Wings really, really became the Red Wings like in the late 90s when everybody stayed here over the summer. All the players did. Mm-hmm. They became friends and got to know one another. And seemingly, if you watch social media, the Pistons, they were traveling to Greece together. They were doing this. They were doing that. I think the cohesiveness is there, and they're all so young that I think that they all have this. They like the same things. They talk about the same things. That it's very, very cool to see a team to come together like that.
No doubt about it. And everybody seems to be playing well. I'm not the hugest Javonte Green fan, but he is contributing a little bit. I mean,
he plays minutes. Every time I see him out there, I'm always like, who the hell is that? Then
right.
I'm like, oh, yeah.
He's doing all right. I mean, obviously.
Wearing Darko's old number 31. What other Pistons have worn 31 that have come through here since then?
Oh, God.
I think Darko's the only one I remember.
No, I think they've had to have somebody else.
Was who was the little Puerto Rican point guard?
Oh, Calderon?
No, the other one.
Oh.
Like in the early 2000s, he might have wore 31.
Pepe Sanchez?
Nope, there was another one. He was really good, I thought.
Oh, Carlos Arroyo?
Yeah, Arroyo, that's who I was thinking of. No. Oh, there's been quite a few players. Okay, to wear 31 since Darko, our man, our boy, Charlie Villanueva.
Oh, okay.
After that, Heat legend and Piston legend, Caron Butler.
Oh, my God.
After that, not to be confused with the inventor of the Muppets, but John Henson.
John Henson.
I don't even remember this young man in 2022, but Trayvon Palmer wore 31.
No, sorry.
In 2024, we had the great, not to be confused with me, Evan Fournier.
Oh, yeah.
And then don't forget Brooklyn Nets legend, lethal from three, Joe Harris.
Joe Harris was 31. He was a good guy. Remember we talked to him?
Oh, he was awesome. Yeah. He was awesome. I don't remember him at all last year, but Aldonis Williams?
Nah, don't know.
Alondis Williams?
Don't know him.
And then Javonte Green. So there's been quite a few, but how many games did that guy play for the Pistons last year? He played one.
By the way,
hit a three.
Speaking of you know, useless stuff, do you realize how many teams do you think Svi Mihailuk has actually played for, and how many games do you think he played for the Pistons?
For the Pistons, he probably played damn near 60, right? Was it more?
More than that, if I'm not mistaken.
Was it 2 years then?
2.5 years, I think he played for the Pistons.
So he played here. Did he play for Brooklyn?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have all the teams?
I can look it up right now.
I want to make sure I'm saying it right. But it was here.
They got him from the Lakers, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, 100%. Because Svi played at Kansas, right?
Yes.
Is it just those four?
No. It was a total of, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, you ain't kidding. So it went L.A. to Detroit. To Oklahoma City.
Toronto.
To Toronto.
The Knicks.
Charlotte. Boston.
And then Utah. He played 41 games for the Celtics in 23-24.
That's the thing, is that he's one of those guys in the NBA that will have a role on any team because he can hit the three.
Yeah.
He's a career 36% shooter from three. Damn, with the Knicks, he shot 60%. Good old days, huh?
It's incredible. All right.
I mean, he only played 13 games.
Right.
Averaged 3 minutes a game. But isn't that crazy? It's just so fun. And what are your overall takeaways from the NBA this year?
They've been a lot of great games.
Really
they've
have.
Been a lot of great games. And then, you know, I was talking to somebody yesterday, you know, what's your, you know, the biggest surprise? I said, is it the Bulls? Maybe. And people were surprised Philly was actually got off to a decent start. But the biggest surprise to both of us was how bad Orlando's playing. Because everybody thought once, you know, they got Bain, you know, he was a really good acquisition. And
it's not clicking at all.
No.
And Bain got tossed out of the game the other night for, like, a dirty foul. It is really, really weird to see that. But the thing I'm happiest about is that Wembanyama is healthy. I mean, dude, what he's doing right now is so beyond crazy that he can keep that up and control the ball. I mean, it sucks that Dylan Harper is already hurt. You know what I mean? Like, what, a couple games in, and he's going to be out for a few weeks. So that sucks. But
right.
When you average 25, 12, 3, and then how many blocks a game is this guy getting? That's the craziest part, is that he's dominating. He's averaging only 4 blocks a game.
How did the Pistons get Svi Mihailuk? Remember this transaction? You're the greatest.
So he went to the Lakers, or he came from the Lakers?
Came from the Lakers.
Was it Drummond?
No, with a pick.
Smush Parker.
No, the second round. Who did the Pistons take with that second round pick? And he was traded. It was February. It was probably the deadline. It was 2019.
So it would be the 20 draft. No, it would be the 19
draft. It was a 21 draft. Because it was traded by the L.A. Lakers with a 2021 second-round pick, which ended up being Luka Garza.
Oh, gosh.
And who did the Pistons give up to the Lakers? Reggie Bullock.
Oh, that's right.
And then the Pistons traded him with a 2027 second-round pick, so it's going to haunt us in 2 years.
Uh-oh.
To Oklahoma City for...
I don't know.
One of the most exciting players in the Pistons.
Oh.
But he really didn't do much, but he was fun to watch.
Who?
Diallo.
Oh, yeah, he was. Boy, that dude was athletic, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, he couldn't shoot worth a lick, but boy, he could jump out of the gym.
Yeah.
But what are your takeaways from NBA on NBC? So I absolutely love the music. I love the graphic package. The thing that's throwing me off is their deep voice guy. Listen, I remember him like yesterday from when I was a kid. NBA on NBC. You know that's AI because that guy died?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's all AI.
Wow. Soon they'll be having AI broadcasters.
Oh, absolutely. It's only a matter of time. But yeah. I do like the games.
I think they do a nice job.
They absolutely do.
And it's kind of cool.
To see NBA on NBC on Tuesday night.
Tuesday night now. Because I don't work in the mornings, I want to stay up late. And for some cockamamie reason, we have problems getting Peacock anywhere except one TV.
Okay.
So if I'm upstairs in bed falling asleep, I can't watch it. But it was a great programming move.
Yeah.
Because they show it. If you're on the West Coast, you get the 5 o'clock game on Peacock, and they get the 8 o'clock game on NBC.
Oh, that is smart.
Their time.
Okay, that's really cool.
Yeah, so that's why you'll see the West Coast, like, what was it, Lakers Thunders last week or whatever? I don't remember.
Yeah, well,
that's prime time NBC.
Yeah, well, Wednesday's game was Lakers Spurs, but that was ESPN. Okay. I haven't watched any of ESPN with Barkley in them.
I've
have
seen
you?
A little bit of it. It's pretty good.
Is it? It's still as good as it was on TNT?
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I would just hope that they didn't neuter them, you know, because they were so damn good at just being raw,
right,
emotional, speaking from the hip. Like, I loved it. And I expect to see some of that this season. But, Stoney, let's just hope that we keep this going, right?
Yeah.
I mean, don't have any big skids, and I think that they're going to be able to cruise to the playoffs. And as much as this sucks, it's going to be like the Lions and the Tigers. Get us to the playoffs, and let's see what happens there, right?
Get us to the deadline, because we can judge Trajan.
But
he's done a great job.
If they keep rolling and the team's going good,
right,
I don't know if you make a move.
No, I know.
Other than
your boy Lori.
Oh, yeah. I just, Stoney, watching him, he's a bucket, man.
I know.
He can do it all. You don't need him to guard bigs on the other side with Stewart and Durant. Hell, you could play all three of them together if you had him.
Wow, he could play the three.
100% he could.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You have Cade out there with whatever other guard, whether it's LeVert or Duncan. You space the floor well. Listen, I'm not a GM. I'm not a coach in the NBA, so they know more than me.
Well, they obviously, because of the salaries, so Tobias is the one obvious who has to
win. Sure.
Right.
See you, Tobias.
Right.
I mean, whatever.
But
it's,
you see, you know, and I agree with you, but then you get into that whole, you know, culture, you know, they need him, you know.
He does embrace the city. I give him that. He embraces this team.
Well,
I mean,
talking about the team. I care about the city, but you know what I'm saying.
Right, but that's my point. He embraces everything about being a Detroit Piston.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you got to like that, especially since this is his second time being here.
Yep. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back in a few days, whatever. We'll try to do them once or twice a week, especially depending on how the Pistons are doing and if we can get any guests. We, like I said, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. We love you. We'll take some feedback, too, if you feel like it.
Yeah, absolutely. Let us know if we're awesome, if we're horrible,
yeah,
if you want to hear more from Stoney, less from Evan, or vice versa. We'll cater to you.
More from Evan. More shoe stuff.
Dude, being a 42-year-old white guy wearing all these Jordans, it's kind of breaking my heart, man. I don't know if I can do it for
much
longer.
Are we done with Michael on NBC now? Somebody said that was pretty much that's all we're getting.
I read a report yesterday that basically you're going to get one more on Tuesday, and that might be it.
That's what I mean, yeah.
Listen, he ain't bringing much to the table other than he's like Jimmy Dugan in A League of Their Own, waving his little hat, and that's about it.
Jimmy Dugan.
Right? I mean, he's only there to look at. He's not telling you anything that he's never told you before. Oh, Michael Jordan worked harder than everybody else. And this is a guy that I love the man.
I know you do.
But I don't need to hear him about load management anymore. I understand. You played all the games, dude.
Exactly. Different time period.
Yeah.
All right. Talk to you later. Peace.